Live streaming at 991fmtalk.com.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Hey, John Potter here, live and local, Saturday night to noon on the phone, and he's appearing tonight at the Carson Nugget, comedian Aaron Berg. And I'm looking at your bio, my friend. I was almost going to say philosopher. You have an honors degree in philosophy from college, and it must be an interesting story, my friend, how you went from there to being a stand-up comedian performing tonight at the Carson Nugget. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Oh, yeah. Well, I went to college in a different time when they would give out degrees for education, not indoctrination. So I graduated with an honors degree in philosophy, whereas most people now are graduating with an honors degree in Middle Eastern terrorism. So I went a different way, and it's really interesting how I got into it. I started as a philosopher and then took the next logical step, which was to be a waiter. Did that for about 5 or 6 years and then started doing stand-up comedy 23 years ago. And it's been a golden road ever since.
I always wondered what a philosophy major, what career they would go into. Okay, so now we know. It's a waiter and now the stand-up comedian. What? Listen, the first thing when I Google your name, articles come up here. You were on Fox News, headline, Biden is culturally appropriating Trump, comedian Aaron Berg. You know, one thing we love here is political humor. I did not see this, but what did you say about Biden and culturally appropriating Trump, sir?
There was this moment before Biden dropped out of the race, which I'm sure was entirely due to his own volition and not just the elites in the Democratic Party. But there was this moment where he was walking down the stairs and you could see that was his fight moment. You know, he made it down those stairs in one piece. And we just thought he was stealing all of Trump's valor following the assassination attempt.
Well said. It's funny that, of course, the president said that he would step down if God Almighty told him to. And the news media somehow missed the fact that God Almighty or Jesus Christ did come down, apparently, and talk to him. No, that's we're joking, because his real gods are the donors and the Democrat Party bigwigs who really forced his hand, like they just did with the Secret Service director also. And with Senator Menendez. Am I right?
You're absolutely right. And this was a huge week for Kamala. Kamala was given so many millions in donations and then was given a couple hundred of migrants on her front lawn yesterday. I don't know if you talked about this or not. Did you see it?
Oh. Sounds gruesome.
They dropped off 200 migrants on her front lawn. I don't know this personally, but I saw a video of it. Were you made aware of this?
No, I'm afraid not. I prepped all local stuff. I got to pay more attention to this national stuff. But actually, Aaron, I kind of avoid it because I feel better not watching the news. I know that's a terrible thing to say, but I need my mental health. You know what I mean? Now, you are on a kind of a tightrope because you are so heavily into political humor. Doesn't that politics, doesn't that upset you and make you mad? It seems the opposite of humor, if you know what I'm saying.
I mean, I think, you know, comedy is tragedy plus time. We're seeing a lot of tragedy and a lot of time passing. So it's very relevant and, you know, I'm working with the notion of people come to a comedy show to forget about all the problems in the world. But if you can make those problems really funny, it's going to hit closer to home than just some weird stories about going out to a restaurant. You know what I mean? So everybody's thinking about politics now. It's really charged up. More people are aware of politics than they used to be because it's being fed to us. And like you said, not watching the news is a good move because that news is so corporate now, and it's not as accurate as it used to be. It's not what we grew up on.
Well, it's like they follow scripts, you know, on the cable news. Okay, it's Kamala, and boy, they were all smiles, every news host and everything, and the it's a script, I'm telling you. But okay, so what can people expect tonight from your shows at the Carson Nugget?
I'm a nonstop comic. People basically say my style is machine gun-esque. I don't stop. It's going to be, 45 minutes or an hour of just nonstop hammering people. I do a lot of roast type stuff. You know, people call me modern day Don Rickles, and there's no line of good taste or bad taste for me. If it's funny and it makes that crowd laugh, it's all fair game for me.
Okay, so are you like equal opportunity comic like Bill Maher? Would childless cat ladies enjoy your show?
Yeah, I make fun of childless cat ladies. Everybody seems to like it. I go after everybody. Nobody's safe in the show, including myself. And it's every show is different because every audience is different. So I rely very heavily on the presence and the appearance of the audience and whatever I want to talk about that day. Of course, last night I got to meet with several of Carson City's finest people and had dinner with them, and I got caught up on everything that is Carson City, all the goings on in your huge metropolis. So it'll be a really localized show. There'll be a lot of local references, and we'll talk about a whole bunch of things that are going on in this lovely town of yours.
All right. A little sarcasm there. You live in New York City, so in New York City, people say metropolis Carson City. I get where you're coming from.
I left New York City 3 years ago, and I moved to America.
Oh.
And I live in New Jersey now, which is much more American than New York City. And I love coming to places like this. It's real. You know what I mean? New York City's not a real place. It's very plastic, very Narnia-esque. This is real, and all the people I've met so far are really nice.
Do you, since you are Canadian, is any of that material in your show? You talk about Canada?
Yeah, I'm from Canada. I became an American citizen 2 years ago, so I pride myself on that. I did it a very odd way. I went about it. I don't know if you've heard of this. It's called legal immigration. I did this process where I had to get several visas and then a green card and then a citizenship card. So it meant a lot to me, and it was really exciting. But I talk about that entire process, about the testing process and how much it means and how hard it is to come to this country legally. It took me years, like 10
okay.
years.
I have a lot of envy for people like you, and I can't tell you, Aaron, how many people in radio and TV are from Canada. And it kind of drives me a little crazy because I tried very hard to move and work in TV in Canada because I had property in Ontario. And I took the test, and it's impossible. You got to know a bit of French. They know how to do it. We apparently don't. I'm not saying you shouldn't be here, Aaron, but they know how to limit immigration, for better or worse.
Yes and no. I think in terms of people like you that are trying to get there for work, but I think that their refugee floodgates have been wide open for several years, and you can see that in the big cities.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you there. Okay, well, awesome, man. Have a great show tonight. Anything you want to tell our listeners before you go?
Yeah, two shows tonight at the Carson Nugget, 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. And come on out. You can see me regularly on Fox News Saturday nights with Jimmy Failla. And tune in, set your DVRs. And thank you so much for having me.
Well, you political comedians, what can be funny about Kamala Harris?
What's not funny about Kamala Harris? She cackles like a free-range rooster. Her body of work is horrific, and if you say anything about it, you're either racist or misogynist. So what's not funny there? You've got a three-tiered monster that you can go after.
I'm going to remember that. Cackles like a free-range rooster. Very
Thank
apt
you.
Description, my friend. Who are you looking at for her vice presidential candidate?
Gosh, what are you going to do? Does it even matter? Come on. I don't know. I heard Gavin Newsom, but they can't both be from California, so she would have to change her residency to Washington, which may happen. But come on. come on, really? So many people have flipped over to Trump this time. It's not even funny.
Well, there, JD and his ticket has taken a huge bashing for days now. Childless cat ladies making a big thing out of that. You have to say something about that, my friend.
What's wrong with being a childless cat lady? If you didn't have childless cat ladies, Bravo wouldn't have any programming.
I am married to a childless cat lady, and she is proud of it. I get what you're saying.
Congratulations.
All right,
I'm more
Aaron.
Of a dog guy myself.
Oh, okay. Well, Aaron, I appreciate the time you took with us on the show, and God bless you for coming to the to our area. Carson City needs some laughs, and you'll be at the Carson Nugget. Tickets available, carsonnugget.com. 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock show. Aaron, thank you again for taking the time to call us.
Thank you so much. You have a great weekend.
Oh, yeah. Great interview. Awesome. All right. John Potter, live and local. Now it's just me, 884-9910. What do you have to say? What do you want to talk about? Craig, open up those phone lines so we can have some fun with that. That'd be great. Awesome. All right. We're going to take a break right now. I'll be back in a few minutes. FM News Talk Time, 1117.
Audience participation suggested. KKFT is Nevada's Fox News FM talk station, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
A great summer day. My walk this morning, sign on a lawn, please keep dogs away from landscaping. Listen, dogs should be able to pursue whatever career they darn well want. I'm John Potter. Live and local. It's 11:21 our time. 85 for a high is perfect, right? It kind of reminds me, you know, in some areas it's not. I lived in Kentucky in the, when was it? Beginning of 1976. And with the humidity, 85 degrees is hot there. They treat summer in the Southeast like it's the enemy out there. Summer there is like an ex-lover they never want to see again. We got to get out of here before summer gets here. And when I was way north in Bangor, Maine, they love summer. But the thing is, I moved to Bangor in January, and when I got there, everybody was telling me, you got to be here for summer. You're here too early. Come back later during summer. It's perfect. Yeah, for 1/12 of the year, it's really great here. Well, this is the time of year here where we say a high of 85 like we get today is a nice, cool summer day. What are you doing today? How are you staying cool? What you doing? 884-9910 is the number to call. So on Sundays, everybody thinks about quitting their job, right? Well, Joe Biden did it. Every Sunday, you're dreading Monday. Sunday, you want to quit. Biden did it. Though the big story, as I was telling Aaron on the phone, it wasn't the end of Joe Biden. It was the visit of the Lord Almighty, because that's who he said would have to come down and tell him to step aside. Joe did get his visitation, but it was really from the Democrat donors and the bigwigs, you know, the gods he has worshipped and been blessed with his entire adult life. It turns out that the guy who told us that he was running the world doesn't even run his own party. And when it turned on him, it was all over. And so it wasn't an act of patriotism or even a personal choice made by Joe Biden. He was forced to do this by his party. On his address to the nation this week from the Oval Office, he looked horrible. He went full orange. Whatever kind of makeup it is or spray tan that Donald Trump used to do, Joe Biden has now gone all in on. It's like somebody on his campaign said, well, Trump has these good poll numbers. Let's make him look like Trump. I don't know. And I'm not trying to be a smart aleck or be disrespectful, but as the lights came up and his face appeared on that Oval Office thing, what was it, Tuesday or Wednesday, the gentleman looked like he was in a coffin. It looked like his hair and his makeup had been done by the mortician, right? And he spoke and he read this thing off the prompter. And at several points in the process of doing that, he struggled with reading the prompter and getting the right words out. God bless him, and God bless us to survive the damage he's done to our country But Joe has been ravaged by a degenerative cognitive disorder associated with age. But Democrats didn't care about that. When he was polling well, their decision to dump him wasn't about competence. It was about his numbers, of course, and not his abilities. Not because he wasn't capable or because they had the best interests of the country at heart, but because they feared losing power. So they changed the horses, which I said this last Saturday is cheating. You know, you can't just drop somebody because their poll numbers are bad in a race. But politicians are not above cheating when it comes to power, right? If this was anything other than the Democrats' desperate attempt to hold on to power over the people, it wouldn't have been a step down from the candidacy. It would have been a step down from the presidency. The country needs a functioning president today, and the constitutional order of things makes that Kamala Harris. But the Democratic Party, which hid Biden's incapacity, and so did she, and savaged anybody who brought it up, wouldn't let that happen. And the same people who call a riot an insurrection lack the honesty to call their candidate change a coup. And people who wonder if the government might have tried to kill their candidate are apt to wonder if the government will try to steal the election. The Democracy Party nullified the voters in its own candidate selection process and by backroom deal chose another candidate to run in an election of uncertain integrity. But anyway, as he went on, it was really interesting to see the nature of the political hate speech. He said that he had to step aside in order to save the Republic. I'm reading my notes here. He said the soul of America is at stake, and to save democracy, he said that the political choice was between freedom and hate. And one thing I've grown very tired of, and again, we're at 884-9910 if you like to sound off, but one thing I've grown very tired of is in America where I'm the enemy, where because I have a different political view from my president, I'm evil, right? What are you saying that Republican voters, whether, you know, they belong to the party or not, they're about half the American electorate, which is a large number of people, something like 150 million people. But his assertion that these Republicans, because they have a different political view from him, are driven by hate, are the enemies of freedom, are a threat to democracy, and will destroy our republic. The survival of our republic is dependent upon his political party winning in November. That was the thrust of his statement on Wednesday, that we won't get to our 250th anniversary of the U.S., that we will not be a country, and that we will not have freedom or liberty or a republic. That's if you don't vote for his party, right? And we have differences, but it's a little hard for me to swallow that I am an enemy of freedom, you know, that I am the army of hate, that I'm part of an effort to establish a kingdom to tear down the United States of America. And then he gets done with this let's hate Republicans speech, and then they go to the announcers, the experts who like to tell us who to vote for on TV, who say the speech is one for the ages that will be reviewed and listened to for generations to come. And you just want to shake your head and say, what the heck were you listening to? I mean, listen, this is hard for me to do because I wrote these notes when I was seeing him do that address, and it ticked me off, and I was angry at the time. But here I am on Saturday, and I'm not ticked off today. So I'm reading notes here like it's from some other person. But this is how I felt at the time, you know? Maybe you feel that way now, and maybe you can relate to it. It's hard for me to read this because I'm not ticked off at the moment. But anyway, yes, he's old and infirm, but he's also still very bitter and he's angry. And what he said was divisive. You know, what he says, seeking to set one group of people against another because of the difference of their political views, is as poisonous a form of bigotry as our nation has seen. And yeah, we've seen some nasty bigotry. So I'd like to hear a speech from the president that does not vilify somebody from the other party. And when a Republican does it to Democrats, it's wrong. And when Democrats do it to Republicans, as my oversensitive Republican hide seems to sense is all the time, it's dispiriting and wrong. And so what I saw Wednesday was an angry man in bad makeup telling America how much he hates people like me and you. That's what I saw. What did you see? Or I'm guessing you didn't watch. But anyway, 884-9910. As always, I'd be grateful for your call. You know, there's a rumor going around that the president on that televised address was AI. You know they can do that. And some people were suspecting this, that it's computer-generated, that's an AI president, which they can do now. I don't believe that was, because computer generation would have looked and been better. So that's how I know it's not. Anyway, all right, we got a break for Fox News. Final half hour on tap right now, 884-9910, whatever you have to say. See, I'm holding off. I haven't mentioned the childless cat lady thing yet. Stop me before I do. 884-9910. All right, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time, 1130.
Fox News and live FM Talk Radio. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. And live right now with your calls.
The Weekend on News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. 11:35 our time. I'm John Potter. It's all live and local every Saturday, 9 to noon. Let's go to the phones, 884-9910. Let's start with Zanna from Carson City calling about Biden versus Trump. Zanna, so glad you called. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. So I was just texting with a friend of mine, and we were talking about the fact that the debate was held before both conventions. And to me, it seemed when they announced it, very obvious that they were going to show the world or people who watch, you know, generally the mainstream mass media, you know, what's really up with Biden. And, okay, first it boggles me that, you know, none of them think, oh, gosh, this dementia just happened overnight. Anyway, besides that fact, you can't tell me Trump didn't know that something was up with having the debate before both conventions, and most likely, of course, to replace Biden after they, you know, revealed to the masses of America that, you know, didn't know previously, i.e. on the other side, that he was incapable and most likely suffering from dementia. So then that begs the question, of course, why would he do that? Is he playing a part? You know, and that's my question to you.
Well, they had to know, the people you mentioned had to know for years about Biden's condition. But the thing that really shocks you when you think about this was you brought up the debate, okay? The debate, that debate, Trump and Biden. And after the debate, they drug out old Kamala Harris to get on TV and give excuses or basically say he did a good job. Is like Jill Biden said, oh, honey, you got all the questions answered. You answered all the questions.
You answered all the questions, right.
Even after the debate, that late, Kamala is still not admitting that we really don't have a president, folks. I don't know who's been running this country with him in this condition. And when he goes to bed at 8 o'clock at night. Yeah, okay, so what's your... what are you looking forward to that come election day, voting between Kamala and Trump?
Heavens to Murgatory. I'm looking forward to it, you know, voting, casting my vote for Trump. I just wonder why there's no way that Trump didn't realize what was going on and why is he going along with it? Why didn't he insist on waiting until after both conventions were held in like normal? I think this is the first time, right, that a debate was held before both.
I think this debate schedule was set up. Democrats really pushed for it too, because listen, Biden isn't getting any younger, and they probably wanted to do this as soon as possible.
Because, right, exactly.
You know,
sad to say,
in that condition, you degenerate, and that's what I think was the reason behind it. Yeah, does it bother you?
Of course. He shouldn't be president. I think. If I'm not mistaken, Trump has actually. Possibly his legal team has filed some kind of complaint or lawsuit or something that against Kamala Harris, because she's not doing anything about the fact that he's incapable. Mm-hmm. And it's her duty to go through the 25th Amendment. So,
okay. Are
have you heard that?
Yeah. Are you a childless cat lady?
No, okay. I'm that serious. Okay. No, no. Do I sound like it?
I have to check. You know, that's how we're judging people now. So
I don't want to be, and I don't have a cat. I'm a cat person. I'm looking for a great guy.
All right,
so,
sweetie.
Please don't hold that against me. I mean,
no, you've been delightful. I appreciate your call, Zanna. Have yourself a great day.
Sure. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. You know, all kidding aside, you can give me flack for this. That's fine. But I truly wish J.D. Vance had not said that. You know, I grew up in a country where, you know, motherhood was like a big cherished thing. And having kids was the thing we were all expected to do. And I remember when I had my first girlfriend in college, and people would constantly say and ask, you know, my friends would tease me, hey, when are you going to get, do I hear wedding bells? And relatives would ask flat out, when are you getting married? And then it was, when are you planning on having kids? And if you were married for like 5 years with no kids, especially 10 years with no kids, you were, I don't want to say outcasts, but you really did not fit with how the American family was expecting you to be. This was, the culture has changed, but I'm talking when I was growing up, that was the thing that you were expected to do, get married and have kids. And there are women who can't have children, and that's a longing, a deep emotional thing. So again, I support the ticket, but I wish he did not say that. But now we're getting into the old cancel culture script with J.D. Vance now. Headline in the Daily News this morning, J.D. Vance's transgender classmate leaks trove of private emails and text messages, including Vance's bombshell remarks about Trump, calling him a morally reprehensible human being. 884-9910 if you have something to say about this. This is cancel culture. It's like anything. You know, at first, it's the initial thing. Somebody is banned for doing something that's just wrong, and you agree with that, and then it kind of gets out of control, and out of control to the point where we're running out of people to cancel, it seems. You know, they ran out of so many celebrities to cancel that they try to cancel dead people. Remember that? All of a sudden, out of nowhere, John Wayne and Kate Smith were trending. Kate Smith, the old singer, were trending. Have they got some found footage or some gossip from some old timer who has a book to sell? In John Wayne's case, and I love John Wayne, but a few years ago, all of a sudden, it was all the woke people were like, oh my God, oh my God, did you see what John Wayne said in Playboy in 1971? So we had all these educated white people all up in arms about a dead movie star going like, I will not tolerate this. I can no longer tolerate dead for 55 years John Wayne saying things in a magazine that doesn't exist anymore. They're like, I gotta say that around my white friends so they know that I'm down, I'm woke, and I support black people in my white apartment on Twitter. I'm here for you, man. Every white woke person likes to lie to themselves that if they were alive 150 years ago, they would have been working on the Underground Railroad, risking their lives trying to help the slaves escape, right? And the reality is they'd be doing back then exactly what they're doing today. Oh my God, my heart breaks on my L-shaped couch. It reminds me of during Black Lives Matter marches, there were the store windows that would have the plywood over the windows, and they would write on it, Black Lives Matter, on top of the plywood. It's like they're saying, what they're really saying, Black Lives Matter. We're all the same. We're all one. Don't burn down my store, you animals. John Wayne was born in 1907, so that's what he's going to sound like, that, you know. But wokes go like, that's not an excuse. Well, yes, it is. Absolutely, it is. You are of your time, and you progress like we're not riding on tricycles anymore, you know? Another example when Sean Connery died, the great Sean Connery, my favorite James Bond of all time. And he was getting a proper send-off for about 8 minutes on Twitter. And then this woman shows up who said he once advocated slapping somebody. And then somebody posts, are we really going to celebrate this man who advocated the hitting of women? Women! It's like, well, first of all, he didn't advocate hitting women, okay? It was a quote. It was, you know, every once in a while, you give him a little slap. That's all he said, okay? Yes, it's a crazy statement today. In 1976, it's not good, but it's not crazy. And he's born in 1930. You got to put stuff in historical perspective. I love old movies. You ever watch movies from the 30s, 40s, 50s? Anytime a woman even has heightened emotion, there's some guy, he goes like, get a hold of yourself, right? That's what we grew up watching. I grew up in the 70s. I thought being a truck driver and having a monkey for a friend was a cool thing in the 70s. I thought that was the world. So if you're going to cancel all these dead guys and criticize them after they're dead and they can't defend themselves, and why are you going only after men? What about all the horrible women in history? No, that's not PC. You just can't go after the men. No, you can't go after just the men. That would be sexist. I'm sorry, I went off on a tangent. What did I start with? Oh, yeah, the childless cat lady. Okay. All right, sorry about that. 884-9910, we have just one more segment. I'm John Potter. I'll be back next Saturday, I think. Next Saturday, 9 to noon, if you don't make it in today, we always get the flurry of calls at the end, so get it in now, and we'll have our final segment next. Glad to be here every Saturday, 9 to noon, on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1146.
99.1 KKFT.
This is what I think.
Talk that matters most. FM Talk, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
John Potter, live and local, one more segment, 884-9910. I'd be grateful for your call. You heard on Fox News, top of the hour, it's definitive now. Trump was hit by a bullet and not shrapnel like that FBI chief alluded to, possibly it being shrapnel from a teleprompter. I think that was to play up the teleprompter part. I don't know. I'm always suspicious of the media. But he plainly said it was a bullet after all. And words of the month, if you see something, say something so the Secret Service can ignore you. This week, the Secret Service chief was pretty much laughed out of office, even though she may be gone, but not the questions about July 13th, right? After the agency allowed a kid with a sniper rifle and a rangefinder to get past their security. Man, the TSA once tackled me over a bottle of cologne. So this week I got to talking with a Nevada state policeman. No, they didn't pull me over. But he said to me, he said all they needed, okay, they weren't on the roof, they didn't do this and that, but all they needed, he said, was a drone. All the Secret Service needed was a drone. We have high school football games using drones for security. I know Channel 4 has a drone. Some of my neighbors have drones. The county sheriff has drones. Reno and Sparks police have drones. Put a drone in the air. How hard is that? They do have drones in Pennsylvania, right? And evacuating Trump from the stage, which went way too long, standing there like sitting ducks with a microphone, hearing them say, okay, what do we do now? Where do we go now? What are we doing? Stand them up for a while. I don't know. The roof slope, come on. Yet after the assassin was dead, two or three law enforcement personnel were standing over him like, what's the problem to be on a sloped roof? No issues with the roof. In the local building trades, that roof was basically flat. I mean, Joe Biden could walk on that better than the steps to Air Force One. So altogether, piss poor excuse to talk about roof slope when you're failure cost a fireman his life, a life spent working in heavy turnout gear amidst smoke and flame on roofs a hell of a lot steeper than the one down in Pennsylvania. And we all saw that once the shots began to be fired, that Secret Service members rushed the stage and were kind of clueless in the whole thing. The good news is they're going to have the hearings on this. and things will improve. But like the call that Biden got last weekend, and the call Senator Menendez got, the Secret Service director got the call from the unseen hand in the Democratic Party to resign. These three wanted to stay on the job, but the party's unseen hand has taken care of that. It's been a busy week. What a world we live in. Now they're trying to destroy the Supreme Court, but I'll save that for another rant. I am not a kumbaya sort of person, but I'm also not a person who needs to be in a fight all the time with politics. And I embrace the fact that we all have very strong and different viewpoints. And I also don't buy into this sky is falling narrative or our politics have never been this divided or this nasty belief. Our politics have always been this divided. They've always been this nasty, with the possible exception of the first term of James Monroe in 1817. I remember that as friendly times. But really, we've always been this divided. It was no different in the days of Washington, believe it or not, in his second term, than in this era that we have right now, in the age of Trump. But the notion that there are things that we can still can do together, even in passionate disagreement, all of us should feel like we have a place in our society. And this thing of the last many years, where it goes beyond the pale, as a conservative white male, I sometimes feel hated by my current president, and I understand the other party's going to win now and then as the cycle goes back and forth. But we all should be respected and served by whoever wins all the time. I don't like presidents who openly favor one party and demonize the other party while he's in office. That's just uncalled for, and I don't recall that from growing up. I don't know about you, but you know what? We won't always get our agenda item on there, but we are still part of the American family. And I'll be honest with you, I get my U.S. senator or my president pissing on me about this extreme mega Republican talk that they do, like I'm some kind of second-class citizen. I don't like that, and I'd like a little bit less of that for everybody. If Trump should win, I don't want any Democrats to feel like they are on the crap list. We all are Americans, and here's the reality of our history. We have political disagreements, but nobody has all the right answers. We've gone back and forth between, well, except me, but we've gone back and forth between liberal to conservative and conservative to liberal, and we've had a few great things come about. And a lot of the good stuff has come from my conservative people, and some good stuff has come from our liberal people. But I'd like, in terms of unity, we don't want to feel like we're second-class citizens if we're Republicans living in a Democrat state or country. And I don't want my Democrat neighbor to feel that crap if they've got a Republican up on top, right? Move past all the bad vibes, and I'm a happy guy. And 884-9910. Well, oh my gosh, we only got about 2 or 3 minutes. Craig, how's it going there? Did we get our 8 winners today?
We did that, plus a couple extra. Wanted to tell everybody, those of you who have won tickets and texted me your name or not texted me your name, I need you to text me your name and for which show you wish to attend, the 6 or the 8 p.m. show. So if you didn't include it in your original email or text message, shoot it to me and I'll get you signed up for that show. So
that's a lot of work. And let me ask you this, because I don't access it during the show. I see them after the show when I'm home, which brings out reactions in me. But did anybody text about the show today?
Not yet. No.
Whew. Good.
Yeah. No text saying get John off the air or, you know, Craig's as dry as toast, but yeah, no.
It's only 2.5 years. It's finally catching on. I love that. okay, so what are you doing this weekend?
This weekend, I'm actually, for our Tahoe listeners, the listeners up at Lake Tahoe, we will be doing transmitter maintenance later this afternoon. So there might be a couple of times this afternoon where it goes silent, but don't be afraid. It will be coming back shortly after that, probably hopefully within a couple of minutes of the changeover.
Tahoe transmitter. Were they going to drop you from a helicopter?
No. Tahoe transmitter is actually on top of Harvey's.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Amazing. Man. Yeah. It's we have to. We take a long elevator ride up and get out of the elevator, go to another elevator, go up, and then go
right
in.
Right from the top of Harvey, so people staying there can pick up KKFT teeth?
Anybody,
teeth fillings?
Anybody within 100 yards of there can probably do that, but yeah.
Oh, that's terrible. I mean, it's good.
It's good that they, yeah, no, but we hit, from there we actually hit the west side of the lake as well, so.
Yeah, I'm planning my next outing. I'm spending all my money on travel. That's what I do. I got enough things at my age, and so it's all travel. And sometimes the trips go well, sometimes not. I love Minden Gardnerville, and it just broke my heart to see the monstrous growth, the metropolis that they're building, the old country feel. I'm afraid is losing there, and makes, you know, I'm an old timer. I just can't get over it, and it's a hard adjustment. You know, I just got over adjusting to how Reno has grown, but Carson Valley has been discovered. Wow. Okay, hate to leave you on that note, but got nothing else. Take care of your childless cat lady husbands, and have yourself a great weekend. I'll talk to you again next Saturday, 9 to noon, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 11:58.